Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. My name is Cheryl Tucker Lowy, and right now I serve as coordinator of the Adult Religious Education Program. I've been a member here at First Unitarian Church for about 11 years now. In the pulpit this morning, we have Robin Berkeley. You're invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just behind me. If you're a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time to visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the programs and activities going on here at the church. If you'd like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in the fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information you are more than welcome to take with you. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet.
Good to meet you too. Wait, who's gathering the children?
We'll just skip that then. You're not doing it?
No. Stephen's not here?
Get out of here.
It does. I mean, this is like the most raucous part of the whole service. I haven't seen you in ages.
I draw your attention now to the announcements in your order of service. We hope you'll keep these things in mind as you plan your upcoming week. Are there any other announcements for the good of the congregation?
I'm Mary Johnson, and I have an announcement about an activity our church is going to be participating in with churches, other churches in the area. We're going to set up voter registration areas throughout Alton, in various places in Alton, and we need people to volunteer to be registrars. You have to be deputized to be a registrar, and so if you are interested in doing this, you have to live in Madison County to do this. So if you're interested, please talk to me. There's going to be county clerk is going to be coming over to a meeting a couple Thursday nights at College Avenue Presbyterian, and we'll register all those who are interested, or there are other ways you can register to help get out the vote. So talk to me if you're interested. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Tate, and I just want to let you know that our Austrian exchange student is still here. Everyone keeps asking her when she's leaving. She's leaving June 30th, but she's still here. She's just Skyping with her family right now at home. And then also I want to tell you, Lizzie McBride's been coming to church with us. Lizzie, she's in this fabulous band called C'est La Vie, and they just competed yesterday at Off-Broadway for a spot to perform at Lou Fest. So they're waiting for the results of that. But if they get that, if they win, they get a recording deal. And so they're also playing Tuesday night with a showcase of local teen like high school bands at Annie's Custard, again, Tuesday night, downtown Edwardsville. So if you're free, come by Annie's Custard and listen to C'est La Vie and some other bands.
The old Annie's.
So we hope to see you Tuesday night. That'd be fun if we all went down there and got some ice cream and hung out and listened to your band. So, congratulations.
Next Saturday evening, the 17th, the Nature Institute is hosting the Alton Symphony Orchestra on the Bluffs for Harmony in Nature. What that has to do with the Unitarians is that the conductor of the orchestra is Lauren Burke. And he is scheduled at the conclusion of the concert to sing Old Man River. Those of you who have heard want to go back. Those of you who haven't heard want to go. So it's 4 to 7 next Saturday. Thanks.
I'm Mona Hebert, and kind of a last kind of heads up. I'm going on a medical mission trip to Guatemala August 4th to the 12th. We hope to see about 1,000 patients while we're there, and we also hope to be able to give out toothpaste, toothbrushes, and soap. So I will gladly accept any donations of toothpaste, toothbrushes, and soaps. Or if you want to just give me some money, I kind of have a deal with Dollar Tree, in which I can get things really, really cheap there and be able to bring them with me. So if you want to help in any way, just get in touch with me. I'm Mona Hebert. Okay, thank you.
Cleaver Van Zandt, minister of this church. I remember that Jeff Cassens, some of you may remember from meeting him here. Jeff and his family have just moved to North Carolina. And, I'm sorry? South, one of the Carolinas, who knows? East of here, they're gone. We hope to see them back, but they have moved their membership from this church to another church out there, and we wish them all the best. Also, this last week, I went and painted a little bit with some people at a house build in East St. Louis. Who else went to that house build thing in East St. Louis? We've been over there four times now, four days, I think. I have had the best time meeting other people out there. The Catholic sisters that run that are just marvelous, and if they're the ones running the church, everything's good. That's what we told them. I really appreciate Diane Thompson and Kevin McCarthy putting that together for us, and all of you who have shown up to do that.
My name's Robin Berkeley. I've been a member here for 2.5 years. I have two particular announcements. Number one, Paul Amore asked me to remind everybody for fourth Saturday lunch upcoming. She is going to be here a little bit late. She was having some printer problems, but she said that she's going to have a sign-up sheet. It's going to be pasta, whatever form of pasta you want, and bread and salads and things like that. So she'll be here shortly, and she will have the sign-up sheet outside. Second, I've been trying to coordinate meals for the Gould Olds. So they, as some of you may or may not know, Sally's back in the hospital, and we want to make sure that we can support them as best we can with meals. We have a lot of people that have already stepped up for the next week, but there's a sign-up sheet out there that'll take us pretty much to the end of June. So if anybody's willing to make a meal, if you want to freeze it and just bring it to me or to somebody else, you know, who's willing to take it on. I know, Trish, you said you would be willing to help also to coordinate. They live in Edwardsville, so whatever works for you guys is great. In lieu of meals, if you want to just have snacks like granola bars or things like that, we can buy a whole bunch, put them in a bag, and we can get them to them as well so that they can have snacks to take to the hospital and stuff like that while they're sitting there. So anyway, so just keep them in your thoughts, please.
I have one announcement, and that is that today at 11:15, right after service, we're going to have a social justice committee meeting. So everyone is welcome, and anyone who has any interest in some of the social justice work that we're doing at the church will meet in Emerson Place. Now I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any joys, milestones, or concerns you may bring with you to church today.
Today is my birthday party, but on the 13th is my actual birthday. If anyone wants to come, we're going to be at the Meyer Y. 2 o'clock, I think?
2 o'clock for roller skating.
It's going to be skating party. You can rent.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Lewis. I have two joys to share today. The first one is my little nephew, Timmy, has been suffering since January with some intestinal issues. And thankfully, this past week, he spent 3 days in Cardinal Glennon's Children's Hospital, and he's better. So hopefully that keeps up. The other joy I have to share with you is my joy at having my mom with me here today. We walked together at the Relay for Life in Wood River this past weekend, and almost 2 years ago, she had a couple of bouts with two different kinds of cancer at the same time, as some of you know. And I'm just so happy and blessed to have her in my life.
I'm celebrating a joy tomorrow. My wife and I, Joy and I, have our 24th wedding anniversary.
Hello, I'm Brenda. I wear several hats around here, but right now I'll be in Anna D. How's that? For those of you who don't get the Telegraph, just the other day in the region section was a nice picture and article about our member Corinne Hawkins, who's been making little dresses for little girls in Haiti. She's made currently 700 of them. So that is her mission in life at the moment, is to help to clothe those little girls. And I'm going to put this on the brag board if you'd like to read it. And there's also one that someone brought that's on the buffet table.
Hi, my name is Allison Reichelt, and some of you know Farida, who's been our exchange student with us this year. She's back there. Hi, Farida. and she's heading home Wednesday morning. So thank you. I wanted to give you all a chance to do that so she could hear you do it. So we'll miss her. And yes, Alex already had to say goodbye, and he hugged her for like a day.
On Monday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll have a memorial here for Landis Kasner. Some of you have been around a while may have known Landis, and his parents are here. Denise Maxwell is here. Mike Kasner is here. A bunch of family is here. Some of you may know them, some of you don't. You're all invited Monday night at 7.
The prelude begins our worship service as Kelvin Crone Willis lights our chalice. As we enter into worship, put away the pressures of the world that ask us to perform, to take up masks, to put on brave fronts. Silence the voices that ask you to be perfect. This is a community of compassion and welcoming. You do not have to do anything to earn the love contained within these walls. You do not have to be braver, smarter, stronger, better than you are in this moment to belong here with us. You only have to bring the gift of your body, no matter how able, your seeking mind, no matter how busy, your animal heart, no matter how broken. Bring all that you are and all that you love to this hour together. Let us worship together. Our first hymn is different from the one in your order of service. It is number 361, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. Please rise as you are able. Enter.
Enter, rejoice, and come in. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Open your ears to the song. Open your ears to the song.
Please be seated. We have today a responsive reading from Teresa Castillo Gallardo entitled, When I Change. Your role in this responsive reading is, when I change, the world changes. Everyone now, when I change, the world changes. We are here to derive meaning in our actions.
When I change, the world changes.
We are here to win our power back over our areas of powerlessness.
When I change, the world changes.
We are here to deepen our understanding of ourselves in order to strengthen self-discipline. We are here to abolish prejudice with an appreciation for our diversity and differences.
When I change, the world changes.
We are here to become teachers to each other.
When I change, the world changes.
We are here to spend time away from the usual influences and relearn reality.
When I change, the world changes.
When God gives me the desire, I am also given the power and means to achieve my goals.
When I change, the world changes.
I am here to see that my singular life is a gateway to countless possibilities.
When I change, the world changes.
Half of the cash collection and any undesignated checks in this week's community outreach offering will be sent to the Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation. If you wish to put your pledge check in the basket, please write the word pledge on the memo line. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of the church. The morning's offering will now be given and received.
Okay. We have a couple of readings today. Both of them are sort of Buddhist in nature. The first one is from Pema Chodron, who is a Buddhist nun, and it's from her book called Comfortable with Uncertainty. And our second reading is going to be from Jack Kornfield, from his book Meditation for Beginners. And Jack is one of the founding members of the Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts. So we'll start with the first reading. Obstacles occur at the outer and inner levels. At the outer level, the sense is that something or somebody has harmed us, interfering with the harmony and peace we thought was ours. Some rascal has ruined it all. This particular sense of obstacles occurs in relationships and in many other situations. We feel disappointed, harmed, confused, and attacked in a variety of ways. People have felt this way from the beginning of time. As for the inner level of obstacle, perhaps nothing ever really attacks us except our own confusion. Perhaps there is no solid obstacle except our own need to protect ourselves from being touched. Maybe the only enemy is that we don't like the way reality is now and therefore wish it would go away fast. But what we find as practitioners is that nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know. Even if we run 100 miles an hour to the other side of the continent, we find the very same problem awaiting us when we arrive. It keeps returning with new names, forms, and manifestations until we learn whatever it has to teach us. Where are we separating ourselves from reality? How are we pulling back instead of opening up? How are we closing down instead of allowing ourselves to experience fully whatever we encounter? In our second reading, Jack is talking about Buddhism and the notion of Dharma, Dharma meaning to awaken. And I'm going to pick up about midway through his discussion because I think this section is most important. One of the first characteristics of the Dharma that shows itself in meditation is impermanence and uncertainty. Thus shall you think of this fleeting world, it says in one Buddhist sutra. A star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, an echo, a rainbow, a phantom, and a dream. The more quietly you sit, the more closely you observe, the more you realize that everything you can see is in a state of change. Ordinarily, everything we experience seems solid, including our personality, the world around us, our emotions, the thoughts in our mind. It is as if we are watching a movie. We can get so caught up in the story until it seems real, even though it is actually made of light flickering on a screen. And yet, if you focus very carefully on what you are seeing, it is possible to see that the film is actually a series of still pictures, one frame after another. One appears, and then there's a slight gap, and then the next one appears. The same thing is happening in our lives, because that is so. Nothing in our lives lasts or stays the same for long. You do not have to be a very adept meditator to see that everything is changing all the time. Have you been able to get any mental states of any kind to last very long? Is there anything in your life that stays the same? This brings us to Dharma's second law. If we want things that are always changing to stay the same and to get attached to them, we get disappointed and we suffer. Not because we should suffer. This is not something created to punish us. It is the very way things are, as basic as gravity. If we get attached to something staying the way it is, it does not stop changing. Trying to hold on to how it was will only create suffering and disappointment because life is a river and everything changes. So when we start to see the laws of nature, that things are impermanent, that attachment causes pain, we can also sense that there must be some other way. And there is. It is the way that can be called the wisdom of insecurity. This is the ability to flow with the changes, to see everything as a process of change, to relax with uncertainty. Meditation teaches us how to let go, how to stay centered in the midst of change. Once we see that everything is impermanent and ungraspable, and that we create a huge amount of suffering if we are attached to things staying the same, we realize that relaxing and letting go is a wiser way to live. We realize that gain and loss, praise and blame, pain and pleasure are part of the dance of life given to each of us born into our human body. Letting go does not mean not caring about things. It means caring for them in a flexible and wise way. And in meditation, we pay attention to our body with care and respect. Okay, our prayer and meditation is Break Down Barriers by Reese Williams. Spirit of life, come to us to break down barriers, to widen horizons, to make us less judgmental. Help us to see the larger picture and the kinder conclusion, to live and let live, to embrace and forgive, to sustain and care. Help us to reach out to our better selves that we may love more and hate less, care more and reject less, that bound together by understanding, we may sustain each other through trial and tribulations, through joy and happiness, through sickness and health. Help us, O God, O Spirit, to be joined in a common purpose of hope and fulfillment. Renew and revive us. We seek a common holy ground for one and all. Amen. Our next hymn is number 9, No Longer Forward Nor Behind in the Gray Hymnal. I'm excited to be up here and sharing something that I've been thinking about for a long period of time, very gracious and glad to have the opportunity to share with you today. Before I found this special place, as Stephen Mead so lovingly calls the first UU, one of my favorite ways to spend my Sunday morning was to listen to NPR, which of course I know is shocking to all of you in the audience. But specifically, I love to listen to the Krista Tippett Show that is now called On Being. It's actually on the air right now. The show is dedicated to understanding the essence of what it means to be human, integrating the spiritual, the physical, the metaphysical, and beyond. And when I drive in during the fall and winter and spring months for the 11 a.m. service, I catch her show, and it's a wonderful meditation as I prepare for an hour or so with my favorite people, listening to my favorite preacher talk about things that resonate with my heart and soul. One particular show this past spring had an interview with Sylvia Boorstein, who is a Jewish Buddhist teacher and psychotherapist. And the program discussed kindness and the importance of offering metta to others. We sing about metta here on occasion. The meditation goes something like this, and there are all sorts of variations on this theme. And we start with, may I be happy, may I be healthy, and may I navigate the waves of my life. And then we offer this meditation to those we feel who need it, and then we offer it to the universe. But we start with kindness to ourselves, kindness to others, and then kindness to the universe. This notion of metta is a common Buddhist lesson, but there was one particular part of her talk that had a tremendous impact on me. And let me read the transcript from that show as it inspired me and it frames our discussion for today. And to place this dialogue in context, Dr. Borstein is discussing how to teach our children metta or loving kindness. And she starts thus, I think our children learn to speak in a tone that we speak in or to hold people kindly if we do. I had in my mind, I wanted to tell this. I've never said it in a public audience, but I just thought about it recently. I decided that, I'll find out soon if it's a good analogy, but I was thinking about the GPS in my car. It never gets annoyed at me. If I make a mistake, it says, recalculating. And then it tells me to make the soonest left turn and go back. And I thought to myself, you know, I should write a book and call it recalculating because I think that's where what we're doing all the time. She goes, this something happens, it challenges us. And the challenge is, okay, so do you want to get mad now? You could go get mad, you could go home, you could make some phone calls, you could tell a few people you can't believe what this person said or that person said. Indignation is tremendously seductive, you know, and to share with people on the telephone and all that. So to not to do it and to say, wait a minute, apropos of what you said before, it's a wise effort to say to yourself, wait a minute, this is not the right road. Literally, this is not the right road. I could become indignant. I could flame up this flame of negativity, or I could say, recalculating, and I'll just go back there. So Krista Tippett responds, so this is an example of technology in spilling us with spiritual discipline. To which she responds, and no matter how many times I don't make that turn, it will continue to say, recalculating, and that tone of voice will stay the same. So aside from laughing hysterically listening to this, I really loved the analogy. And so much so that in that moment, I decided that the next time Eric asked me to do a sermon, I was gonna do it. So you guys get lucky. The nice thing too is that as I discussed this idea with a lot of different friends and family, and particularly recently, the idea gelled and expanded and morphed. And I don't wanna take away Sylvia's thunder because it's a fabulous idea for a book, and I may even actually send her my sermon to hopefully inspire her. But she should write it, absolutely. But I'm gonna take her inspiration, I'm gonna run with it, and give us a map, if you will, pardon the pun, with which to travel in the coming days and weeks and month. So after a lot of thought and discussion and meditation on this, I have 4 points that I want to bring up that's associated with this analogy. Number one is the GPS as the path to maintaining loving kindness, very similar to Sylvia's vision. Number two, the GPS to help us navigate the river of life. Number three, when the GPS is wrong. And number four, turn off the GPS. Two of these options have a very positive connotation, and the other two encourage us to take pause and use common sense and our own intuition to guide us. But let me start first with Sylvia's vision. Number one, the GPS is the path to maintaining loving kindness. My favorite philosopher is Winnie the Pooh. And in his book, Pooh's Little Instruction Book, I found a quote that summarizes Sylvia's vision for loving kindness. Just because an animal is large, it doesn't mean he doesn't want kindness. However big Tigger seems to be, remember that he wants as much kindness as Roo. There are times when it is incredibly easy to be angry and hurt and frustrated by another's actions. So much so that we want to lash out physically or verbally or at the bare minimum, go home and complain about it to our loved ones. And I know I'm guilty of this every day when I get my New York on. So even Pema Chodron mentioned this in today's reading, the concept of outer level obstacles that frustrate us and hurt us and leave pain and suffering in their wake. But even animals who are mindlessly going about their day, stepping on our toes and cutting us in line, need kindness. And if you believe in the notion that we are all connected energetically, Doesn't it make sense that instead of sending out your negative energy filled with anger and hurt to the universe, we should send out positive energy, metta, or loving kindness? And as we feel our frustration level increase and we contemplate revenge of sorts, take a deep breath and smile and let the frustration pass through you. You never know what that other person is going through, and maybe that extra minute they are saving, which is of little consequence to you, will be the difference between life and death for that person. Your positive energy may pass to them, and it may change the rest of their day to be more pleasant or just a little easier. Just as we say forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves, the same can be said for loving kindness. It is a gift we give ourselves to offer kindness to another. And if all else fails, remember there's karma, but that's not for us to judge. Karma takes care of that for us. Recalculating. I don't want to be angry today. May he be happy, may he be healthy, and may he be able to ride the waves of his life. Number two, a GPS to help us navigate the river of life. Let me return to Pooh again. Sometimes if you stand on the bottom rail of a bridge and lean over to watch the river slipping slowly away beneath you, you will suddenly know everything there is to be known. Let me add to that, you'll suddenly know everything that there is to be known in that moment. Our GPS helps us find our path on the way on the river of life. The GPS can represent our core values, our guiding principles, our conscience, our goals, and the path we set for ourselves with the best of intentions. It is so easy with the millions and millions of pieces of information being thrown at us that we might very well lose track of our path and find ourselves wandering inappropriately, perhaps unable to commit or complete the journey we began. We may find ourselves distracted and wondering, how did I get here? Clearly I got lost somewhere along the way. And remember what Jack Kornfield said, if we get attached to something staying the way it is, it doesn't stop changing. Trying to hold on to how it was will only create suffering and disappointment because life is a river and everything changes. We may find in that journey of changes that we may resist the change. We may try to stop that river from flowing, and we know how badly that can end. But also we may find that we get lost in the changes and drown in the water and the information coming at us, and we may lose touch with those core values that drove us to the journey on the river in the first place. Sometimes it is okay to wander, and we'll discuss that with point number four, but there are times when staying on that river and floating along with it is important. Our GPS gently and calmly reminds us when we have strayed from our life's path. And to continue with my favorite philosopher, sometimes a boat is a boat, and sometimes it's more of an accident. It depends on whether you're on top of it or underneath it. You know Pooh. Our GPS helps us stay in the boat, so we stay on top of the journey, not underneath the boat, an accident waiting to happen. Those values can help us navigate when we are amidst the chaos of life. And don't worry, you'll get there. It's a journey. Enjoy the journey and let the GPS guide you on the river. Recalculating. Rivers know this. There is no hurry. We shall get there someday, and the GPS will help us get there in due time. Point number three, when the GPS is wrong. One of the downfalls of a GPS is that when it recalculates, at times it takes us on the shortest, quickest, easiest path. It seems to think that it knows what we want and continues to insist that we move that way. This can be convenient in certain contexts, as we discussed in point number two, but not always. What if the easy path takes us on a journey away from a struggle in which we must engage in order to grow as human beings? As humans, we seek simplicity and ease and a smooth path because conflict and the challenges of day-to-day life are disconcerting and unpalatable. We live by the mantra, keep it simple, stupid, but sometimes the simple path is the wrong path because we lose the opportunity to learn and grow in our struggles. Our reading today from Pema Chodron informs us that running away from our issues and internal obstacles or finding the easy way today doesn't mean the problem goes away. Sometimes we have to take that more complicated path and deal with our issues head on now in this moment to grow as we were meant to grow. Life hands us lessons, and it's up to us to embrace these lessons and not simply rely on the GPS to get us where we want to go. It's unlikely we'll get there when and how we want. So taking this the next step, let me offer yet another Pooh-ism. If you are trying to find your way home and keep finding yourself instead back at the same sand pit, it may be that the sand pit is following you about. Sometimes that darn GPS is wrong, and sometimes you end up somewhere and don't know why you're there. Jerry Johnson shared a GPS story with me as we were cleaning paintbrushes and rollers on Friday in East St. Louis. And he and Mary had entered in the coordinates for a place, and it's not where they thought they would be, nor is it where they wanted to be, but they blindly trusted the GPS to take them somewhere. They eventually got to where they wanted to go, but it took using their own best judgments and a bit of ingenuity to find covered bridge number 19 in the adjoining restaurant. Now, I might recommend following Pooh's advice. When setting off on an expedition, be sure to bring provisions, or at least some things to eat. But in this case, mindfulness is the provision we need on our expedition. If we just blindly follow our paths of least resistance and let the GPS take the lead, we may very well end up someplace we don't want to be, in a pickle that may be more challenging than simply finding the restaurant we want to eat at. Mindfulness gets us out of jams and helps us find creative solutions to the problems we face. And mindfulness enables us to learn from our mistakes and make course corrections as need be. Recalculating, from the philosopher. If you are looking for home and find instead a sand pit, try looking for a sand pit. Then you'd be sure not to find it, which would be a good thing, because you might find something that you weren't looking for, which might be just what you were looking for. I love Winnie the Pooh. The last one, number 4, turn off the GPS. In the immortal words of J.R.R. Tolkien, not all who wander are lost. Returning from the fabulous Camp Fest last weekend, I got into an interesting conversation with Brigham Dimmock and my daughter Margaret about technology. One of the joys, yet one of the challenges, of being at the top of the mountain at Paramarquette is that for most of us, our phones, GPSs, and emails were absolutely useless. Which was a good thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Our infernal, one of the tough things was, of course, our infernal search for the pancake turner. And thank you, Ryan Versoba, for rescuing us. But I did buy one the other day, and it is in the pool, so we're good. But it was also hard to call or text people who were coming in later, whether it was to inform them of missing and needed supplies or simply to just give them directions. But the great challenge was also a great joy. No phones ringing, no pressing emails, no nagging texts, just time to connect with nature and each other. And so our discussion on the way home was about the concerns of technology and its interference at times with living an authentic life. Even my own daughter, from whom I have to pry her computer regularly, understands that technology and Facebook can be a lousy master, but a useful tool if managed well. Now, this is a personal challenge to me, too. My phone is always attached to my hip. I am learning to just set it aside, and I'm getting better at it every day. I'm not perfect, but I'm better. But that is my own journey. The most restful vacation I went on was last summer. I'm atop of a mountain in Estes Park, Colorado, near the Rockies. No cell phone, no texting, nothing, because the technology didn't work. I have never felt more relaxed and more connected to my environment and those around me. And even though the challenges of day-to-day life may require us to stay connected, I have students with questions, our pastor has congregants who need support, we may have clients who need an answer now, there is enormous value in unplugging and just being. And as Brigham so brilliantly put it in our discussion, sometimes we don't need the GPS when we travel. Sometimes it's nice to just wander and wonder and see where the journey takes us. When we can unplug the digital overlord, we can let our own inner GPS take us on our own unique path so that we can be present to the wonders that life presents us. Recalculating. Don't underestimate the value of doing nothing, of just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear, and not bothering. So what is the lesson in all of this? Should we or should we not use that GPS? The answer, of course, is it depends. The GPS can be a good tool. It can help us when we are lost on our path or when we need a reminder to be kind and gentle, not only with ourselves, but with others. The GPS reminds us of our core values, reminds us of the journey we need to take through life. But the GPS is not our digital overlord. Sometimes the path it wants us to take, while easy and fast, may not be the best. and sometimes we don't need it at all. Sometimes being present to the wonders around us and open to life's opportunities is the better path. The goal is for it to be a tool, not our master, and it should not be used in place of our better judgment when we know the path it wants us to take is a form of escape, not a journey of development and growth. So I challenge you now, the next time you get in your car and your GPS says, recalculating, ask yourself these four questions. Am I being kind to myself and to others? Am I on my journey following my core values? Is the journey I am on the easy way out, the shortcut that short circuits life learning? And lastly, am I present in this moment, one with the world and those around me? And if not, then gently say to yourself, recalculating. Our final hymn is number 1021 in the Teal Hymnal, Lean on Me and Rise if You Are Able. In my Eric Johnson asked me to remind everybody that this is Pride Month, and there obviously are going to be some events going on. Obviously, the Pride celebration in the next few weeks. Metro East Pride is in Belleville next weekend, and St. Louis is 2 weekends after that. And Linda has some announcements on that front.
Sorry, forgot to do this earlier. On the June 25th, the Pride Fest over in Tower Grove Park in St. Louis will be doing a service in the grass at Spring and Arsenal. At 10 o'clock, Kleber will be leading that, and I will be in the parade route. So you are all invited to come join me in the parade route after the service in the grass, and we will march down Arsenal and show them that everyone is welcome here.
And our church rocks.
Absolutely.
It's the June 24th.
June 24th, sorry, that's Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be too late by then. Sometimes a digital overlord helps. All right, have a beautiful day today, everybody.
Thank you.
Robin, that was fabulous.
Oh, that's fabulous.